We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, yeah. Now it's not time for Jim Nance and Grant Hill to tee up a 1-4 Sweet 16 matchup between Dayton and Iowa.
That would have been a good big man matchup right there.
Instead, it's Malzi Memory Lane, where he tries to fend off his toddler and two dogs and take us back in time to
a simpler time
when Chris was concerned about LimeWire and downloads and
Kazaa,
what he was going to listen to on his way to school and who he was going to ask out to the senior prom. And Malzi Memory Lane, NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 Edition. We hear a clip, and Chris Muller brings us all together like only he can, FDR style, then gives us a fireside chat about a special moment in Chris Muller NCAA Tournament history. Craig, remember when Chris said he's never won an award before in broadcasting?
I do.
I think we should submit this to the PBA this year.
You think I haven't been cutting it up for that purpose?
I hate you both.
All right, Malzi, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right. Shot clock off, down to 10.
I would be surprised if Brandon Knight gave this up. He's going to try to take it all the way down.
Wait.
I've already done a Malzi's Memory Lane for that one.
Check that. Here
God,
we go.
This isn't going to win. This isn't going to win.
There's the switch in the jumper. Entry pass.
Beautiful. How good is he? I mean, he's just creating offense as lit loaded up in the lane.
A season high 11 assists for Brandon Knight. 14 seconds to go.
And they're in it. We have plenty of time now for an option or counter.
Diener, the switch. Knight. Back it goes. Wade, jump stop.
Off the glass. And in. That is as good as it gets. Total body control. Great selection. And a kiss. That could go down in Marquette's memory.
So Page will become very active. You got two speed guys in the backcourt to bring it up in Krauser and Knight.
They're warning Tom Crean to get back in the coach's box. And he does. And Donatas Zavatskas, the best three-point shooter, remains on the bench. Here's Knight. Pulls up, fakes, shoots, off the mark. Foul. Chance. He's got to heave it. Off the mark. Marquette meets Kentucky. With a spot in the Final Four at stake.
I'm getting my revenge on, we're going to take a trip down Pony Memory Lane starting tomorrow. I've already got my revenge planned. That's all I have to say. So that would have been my senior year of high school, early 2003, late senior year for me. I thought that was Pitt's year. The thing that got me about that was the sort of breakdown of the team that beat them was similar, although Marquette had a much higher sort of pedigree, obviously, than Kent State. Pony, I remember watching that in my bedroom at home. And
were you grounded?
It was similar.
Why
weren't
you watching with your mom, your dad, your brother?
They didn't.
Your sister?
They're not. I come from a family where I'm the only person who actually loves basketball.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of basketball fame. I played basketball, and my dad had to be like, sort of, he would read the newspaper when I wasn't in the game, which was more often than I'd like to admit, and only pay attention when I would check in. So I'm watching the game, and
so
what bothers me about it.
Front to back, huh?
You'd have it was, you know, he could have gone through the entirety of the New York Times with all the free time he had. So what bothers me in retrospect about this is 2 years in a row they lose to a team, does Pitt, where they've got a pretty similar formula. A star player who would go on to big things, albeit in Gates' case in the NFL, but in Wade's case he's a Hall of Fame NBA player and one of the best of his generation. I don't think people really saw that coming at this point in time. And then a scrappy, annoying little point guard who was very good, in this case Travis Diener as opposed to Trevor Huffman. And then in that game, what I remember, too, is Steve Novak, I feel like, broke Pitt's back with a couple big three-pointers. Is that right?
I can pull up the box score right now.
I want to say Novak was pretty clutch. I know that Wade just went off, I mean, was unstoppable, and I know Julius gets mad about it to this day.
No, I don't think that's right. I think that Julius, like, accepts that one of the all-time great players just had a big game. You know, I mean,
had a night?
Yeah. Let's see.
Julius did cover him that game, right?
Yes,
that was his mark.
I don't think Julius accepts from a couple of different standpoints the Donatus scenario. Both Donatus' reaction to Howland and also the way that Howland, as you heard Vern Lundquist describe it, the best three-point shooter, not in the game, at the end of the game, because Ben was angry at Donatus and, you know, kept
Donatus
him on the bench.
Took his shoes off.
Yes.
My memory of that game, too, is, okay, they lost, and The thing I'll admit
Novak
about Wade
had nine
is
off the bench, by the way.
Okay, so three didn't threes. Have the crazy. I thought he did have three. All right, I knew it was three pointers. The thing about that game in retrospect was too, I was at least used to disappointment because of the previous year's game against Kent State, and what made it a little bit more palatable was in the Elite Eight, Wade just absolutely took Kentucky to church. Like, I don't know what his final stat line was for the Kentucky game, but I just remember watching that and being very satisfied that at least the team that had beaten Pitt and the guy most responsible for it had gone out and throttled a blue blood right after that.
How about Pitt shot 53% from the field and lost?
Oh, it's because they didn't rebound. I told Ben we had to rebound better, and
they out-rebounded Marquette 25-24.
I'm kidding. I want to see what Wade did in the game against Kentucky after that, because that I remember just feeling so much better about things. He went out in that Kentucky game after he put 22 on Pitt, shot 11 of 16 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line, and put 29 on Kentucky. Man, he took – oh, God, he worked them over.
Is this the most disappointing non-Villanova loss for Chris Muller?
Wait, hold on. No, the Butler-Nas Robinson game is worse, because I thought that Pitt team had a chance to make some serious noise. Do you realize Wade had one of...
Wait, I thought you said to start this segment you believed that this Pitt team in 03 was the team that was finally going to win the national championship.
I thought the 09 team was going to do it. I don't remember what I thought about this one, because Kentucky was the one seed.
You said 5 minutes ago that you... Did he not just say that correct?
No.
That's where the memory lane started. I thought this was Pitt's year. That's exactly what you said.
I thought this was their year to get to a Final Four, not win at all. Because in Pitt terms, this is their year is very different. You realize Wade against Kentucky the next game had one of the only triple-doubles in NCAA tournament history?
Wow.
29-11 and 11 against
Kentucky.
I'm
not buying the fact that you like had reduced expectations for Pitt when that was the year they blew out Connecticut in the Big East Championship. 74-56.
Oh no, it was. You felt like they had a very good shot. Yeah, you felt like they had a good shot to make a deep run.
And they had blown out Indiana in the second round, 74-52.
I know they had drilled Indiana after what? Who did they get in the first round in that tournament?
Wagner.
Oof.
And then Jamie would lose to Wagner a few years later. Remember that?
Yeah, I was gonna say, time is a flat circle for Jamie Dixon. Which Hurley brother was that was coaching Wagner at that time? Danny.
Now he's at UConn. Craig, you remember anything about that game?
I'm sure a young Craig had Pitt going way too far in his NCAA tournament bracket that year.
Did Craig have
God,
hair?
What would a
then?
Young
03 hair?
03? Yes, still hair on top of the head.
How'd you style it?
Very short.
Gel?
Did you have the big earrings in both ears?
I did. Earrings, no gel, just plain.
Did you rock Pitt jerseys back then?
Yeah, Yeah, because I remember the one pit jersey I know I had was a Sam Young jersey, so I'm sure I had one back then.
Did you rock, like, the big chain around your neck?
Sure did.
Oh, God.
Did you ever rock the Julius Page one sleeve look?
No, I did the big armband, though. Like the big wristband.
Like the arm sleeve,
that, like,
the Iverson?
My whole forearm, yeah.
Wait, the Iverson sleeve or like a wristband that was actually like a sweatband?
No,
there's two different
wristband
things there.
That covered like my whole forearm. It was so big.
Well, your forearms aren't that big.
Yeah, that's
so.
The point he's trying to make
length.
Here.
Yes.
Oh, no, Pony. He wore one of those ones that was literally like a 10-inch long sweatband. What a loser.
Who?
Craig, what a terrible look.
I don't even think any
NBA players wore that kind of look.
Since when are you the style columnist for GQ, Chris? You're going to bash this guy for the way he looks? For the way he looked back in the early 2000s?
Yeah, I am, actually.
What you're seeing here is the people in the studio are now taking each other's backs on topics. So, Chris, you're screwed.
I'm in a room with a bunch of stuffed animals, and they are all, like, I'm starting to think that they're actually, their eyes are following me. So this is going to drive me completely insane working like this and it'll take about another day and a half. God, this game really did chap me, though. This one...
Your senior
the
year?
More I'm the more I'm thinking about it, the more angry I'm getting. And I know I was getting angry in the moment back then because I'm sure I was in the mode of picking Pitt to go deep in my bracket pool and it was costing me my bracket. But you did just always get... You know what you got robbed with Pitt? And then, of course, when they became the one seed themselves, they're the ones that get beat. You got robbed of seeing a 3-seed Pitt and a 2-seed Pitt at various points actually have a tussle with a 1-seed. You never got to see them, like, measure up against the best of the best in their region until they were supposedly the best of the best and couldn't get the deal done. I think, what, the only 3-2 matchup they had was OK State.
Well, they were a 3-seed when they lost to They were a 2-seed when they lost to Marquette, a 3.
And they oh,
were,
really?
Yeah.
Okay,
They were the 2,
my
and Marquette
bad.
Was the 3.
So they never got a chance to go big game hunting as the high seed, but still not quite as highly seeded team, they always disappointed. They did it to Oakland.
One time they did, late in the Jamie Dixon era, when they beat Colorado in the first round and then got crushed by number one Florida.
No. I'm not talking about an 8-9 game like that. I'm talking about Pitt being a 2 or 3 seed and beating a 1. They never got to do it. No. They never pulled that little trick
All
off.
Right. Thanks for taking this down ballsy memory lane, Chris.
Thanks for depressing me. I'm getting a lot of hatred on Twitter because you have once again misrepresented what I said earlier in the show and said that I have cracked the North Catholic Mount Rushmore, that I've passed Luke Ravenstahl.
You said
now,
that.
The second sentence is true, but I don't think I'm actually on Mount Rushmore.
So give me the 4 again on North Catholic's.
Both Rooneys, okay. Dan and Art,
yep.
Kevin Colbert, and Michael Hayden.
You said, Craig, am I in a delusional world here? Do I not remember Chris saying
no, I
no
said
one
people
likes
don't
Michael
like
Hayden?
Michael. People don't like him, but that doesn't mean that I'm more famous than him.
In this given moment, right now, March 25th, 2020, you don't think you're more famous than Michael Hayden?
No, I don't. I think if you did a poll, if we're really rating this on basic fame, if you did a poll question and said, who is Chris Muller, who is Michael Hayden, a majority of Americans would know who Michael Hayden is, and a majority of Americans would go, who the hell is Chris Muller?
Are you on
I'm also not in North Catholic Wikipedia page? No, I'm not in their official Hall of Fame either. Luke Ravenstahl is.
Is he in the unofficial Hall of Fame?
Oh, this hurts, man.
We got to get you in the Hall of Fame. Who do I need to contact over at North Catholic? I'd love to give the
induction
speech.
I think I have to make a financial donation. I think I need to grease the wheels here if I want to get in there.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!